Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Club. This is the place everyday real estate investors gather to share their best stories, biggest insights, and favorite tactics to grow a portfolio of cash flowing properties in today's market. Here's your host, Gabe Peterson.
All right, we are back with another episode of the Real Estate Investing Club. Today we have Brent Bowers with us again today. I love having repeat guests, and Brent is an absolute monster when it comes to doing deals with land, which is a unique niche. I know a lot of people out there really like land deals because it's a little bit easier and there's a lot more of it. So Brent, I am super excited to get into this. We're going to go deep into the details of how to get land deals done. Before we do that, I do want to ask, we always start with stories on how people get started in real estate. I know you've already been here and shared yours, so we'll keep it quick, but take us to the beginning. How did you get started in real estate?
I think my story was just like everyone else's. I did not like what I was doing and I wanted to change it. And, you know, I started in 2007. I was mowing grass. I had a lawn service and I did some landscaping as well, and just tired of it. It was really getting boring, and I had hired people and they were messing up everyone's flowers and lawns. And so I got my real estate license in 2007, bought that first house in 2007, and ended up getting my teeth kicked in about 2008.
Yeah, I was going to say that's rough timing.
Yeah. And me and my wife had to move in with her parents, and I had to tell my landlord I wasn't able to pay my rent anymore. So I went from owning a business to having a real estate license to a rental property, because I also bought my first rental property in 2007, to moving in with my in-laws, and basically humbled as humble could be, and joined the military in 2009. Took a little break from real estate from 2009 to 2013. So I was on a couple of combat deployments to Afghanistan and living in Germany when I wasn't deployed, and started house hacking in 13 and wholesaling houses in 14 and 15, and then stumbled on land early 2016. And that is when things really started to take off for me. So if anybody is listening to this today, it took me from 2007 to about 2015 to finally get successful in real estate. So what is that? 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 8 years. So if you're less time than that, you're doing great. Yeah. So this is a long haul.
I want to jump in there too, because I, you know, when I got into real estate, I always thought that it should be going faster, but I'm just like you. I started in 2014 and it wasn't until 2019 that things really took off. And so you know, reiterating that statement, if you guys think there are crazy stories out there where people, you know, get $20 million under management within the first year, that can definitely happen. But if it's not happening for you, don't kick yourself. It is a long game. So just keep at it, and eventually you'll get to where Brent is today. Good story though. So you got into land. I love it. You did a few things before then. We all get started in wholesaling, single family, trying to do those flips, and then we get our teeth kicked in and find the actual strategy that we're passionate about.
And that's it. You got to be a little passionate about that. Helps too. And so, yeah, glad you touched on that.
Yeah. But land, that's where you landed. And today I just got that one. All right. But today we're going to go deep into land. I'm excited about this. To preface it, to get us started, why don't you just say, why are you so passionate about land? Why do you think land is, why do you like it so much?
You know, I love it that it's just clean. And I got that from my father. Like, he's just like, it's just clean. It's untouched. And another thing I love about it is I sell most of my land on seller financing, where I hold the payments. I get a down payment, a monthly payment, a doc fee, a note service fee. So all these little fees add up too, by the way. But I love it because we've got almost 70 of these coming in each month. And these tenants, I mean, did I say tenants? Buyers never call unless they want to change their debit card number, or they get a new bank account, or they want to pay extra. And, you know, occasionally they do get late, but we have the note servicing software that just automatically charges them a late fee. But I love it because they're not calling me with all kinds of issues. I still have rentals. You know, I actually started out in 2007 with my first rental property and then bought one in 13 and then one in 14 and then a triplex in 15. And I still have doors. Even though I have management companies, there's always a phone call, it seems like. We've been through multiple tenants on one of our houses. It's like the problem house. That was actually the one I bought in 2007. Three evictions on that house. Oof. And three trashes. You know, my first deployment back from Afghanistan, I remember my wife being so mad at me. I was gone for almost 1 year. And I had a lot of savings saved up. I had like $4,000 in my bank account. This is back in 2013. And I felt like I was doing well, finally, doing well again. I was an E3 in the military, not getting paid very much. And all $4,000 of that money went to fixing up the house. Mm, this is back when you can get a renovation with $4,000, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a cheap renovation.
It was a very cheap
renovation. It was a punch in the
gut. It was, because my wife said, you know what? This is ridiculous. I won't tell you what she really said. We are sitting at home on your 2 week break and we could be traveling, but you spent all your money on your stupid rental house. And, it's sad that that marriage didn't work out. Multiple deployments of being gone all the time. It's not really good on the marriage.
That'll take its toll for sure.
So, and that's ultimately why, you know, I built this land business so well.
So it's because you like that land is a cleaner transaction. It sounds like you like,
oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah. For underwriting, for everything. It's a lot easier to comprehend. It's a lot easier to underwrite, I'm sure. I actually don't know a lot about land. As I mentioned before we got on the podcast, we get a bunch of land, deals that sellers have. You know, we're marketing for self-storage, mobile home parks, stuff like that. And these sellers will have land and I never know what to do with it. And so I never know if we always wholesale it off, but I never know if I'm asking the right price or anything like that, which is one of, right. It's one of the things that I kind of get held up on when I start looking at land. So let's take that as the first step into kind of the details. How do you price your land out? How do you figure out what your offer price is when you get these properties?
I love it, Gabe. Great question, because that's huge for a lot of people. And that's why I think they steer clear of land. Also, just they don't see the way to make money with it. So here's how we make money with it. And here's how we price it. I am always looking to get it at a massive discount. And so how am I pricing it? So the easiest, fastest way, and this is also how I pick a market, I'll go in and look in the area. So I'll look in, say, for instance, my area. Let's just use El Paso County, Colorado, because that's where I started. And I'm gonna go on Zillow or Redfin, and I'm going to choose El Paso County, Colorado. And then what I want to do is go to the solds tab. I want to see what's sold. Let's just use, you know, Zillow, for example. And I'm going to select the house type or the property type, and I'm going to select vacant raw land. And then I'm going to go to the more tab. And then I want to select in the last 90 days, what's selling in the last 90 days. And then I'm going to look at where my parcel of land or the subject property is at. And let's just say that I don't have a subject property. Maybe I'm just trying to figure out that area. I'm going to click on every single one of those parcels. Now, you can really get quick with this. If you have a half acre parcel, or let's just say a 10,000 square foot parcel, you can go in there and do the filter on the more tab, scroll down and pick the lot size that you want to see in the last 90 days in that area. That's really the easiest way to comp this. So you got a half acre parcel. You want to look and see what all the other half acre parcels are selling for in that area. Where it gets hard is like, oh man, no other half acre parcels have sold in this area in the last 90 days. Well,
and when I've done this, that has happened a lot. Mostly what happens when I get held up is when I'm going in there, and actually we're doing this right now. There's a 9 acre parcel that this, you know, we reached out to this guy about a self-storage facility he owned. He didn't want to sell that, but he said, hey, I'll sell you this 9 acre parcel for dirt cheap. And, you know, it's quote unquote. And so that's the thing, is like, it's 9 acres. It's near a metro that is, you know, it's growing double digit net migration. So it's a good metro. But there's no properties in the area that have sold at that size. And so it comes down to like, how do you find comps? How far do you go out when you're looking for stuff like that?
I'll tell you, sometimes we have to go a year out and sometimes we have to expand like a couple miles, but that's really tough in this market because there's some of those areas are kind of going down. So here's what I have to do. When there's that unknown, when there's that doubt, I have to get that land under contract for almost a ridiculous price where it's like, I can go into this with no eyes, like blind, completely blind, and still win. Like I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm getting this piece of land at like 30 cents on the dollar or 50 cents or less on the dollar, just for those reasons of the unknown. And then here's another thing you could do. You can get it under contract for an extremely long due diligence period, like a 90-day due diligence period, and market that thing to cash buyers. Market it to land specialist realtors that are selling the land in that area and also have the land listed in that area. Because we just found 14 acres in Tennessee, and there was no comps, nothing that has sold. And I'm like, golly, man, I had to expand just exactly what we're talking about. And I found the land specialist realtor. I found one person that has sold two parcels in the last 6 months. That's not a lot. And she seemed like she was okay. Well, she's now not got back to me. Well, okay. Well, let's see who else is out there. So now I'm looking at what's for sale. There's three parcels for sale. One is right across the street and they're asking like $1 million for it. And mine, I've got under contract for about 100,000-ish. Wow. So I call him and I said, hey, I'm right across the street from you. We got the same size parcel. What do you think is a 30-day blowout price? And he was like, okay, you got to be careful in this area because you got to do perk test where the water percolates through the soil, kind of like for your septic system. And you also need to know this, that, and the other. But here's the thing. We're just waiting on a perk test and this land is gone for $1 million. I think you have something really great over there. So we just were not sure. So we got it under contract at a super low price. So Gabe, I wish I had an exact science
formula
to tell you
that you could say,
there's not one. Now there's,
That is so often. And that is what it comes down to for every piece of real estate is you really do have to do the due diligence. There's no specific formula. I wish there was like that 70% minus repairs for flips. No. There's nothing like that out there. But it does sound like you find that 50%, 50 cents on the dollar is a good metric to be shooting for when you're trying to get a property on a contract.
Yeah, or less. And all I'm saying is in those areas, that's where the biggest money is made, the unknown areas. Now, if you have an area where they're all 10,000 square foot parcels and they're all selling for $17,000 to $20,000. Okay. Yeah. I can get them under contract probably for maybe $7,000 or $8,000, but what's the most I'm going to make? $5,000 if I assign that contract or I flip it on the MLS for 20. That's where you kind of get your like base hits, but where you get your home runs are those areas you were just talking about where it's like, I have no clue what this is worth.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense. And so you've mentioned two ways that you're doing disposition right now. You've mentioned buying it and it sounds like assigning the contract and then also selling it on the MLS. Are you doing double closes? Are you fully closing on these properties or are you just listing it while you have it under contract?
All the above.
All the above.
All the above. And then my favorite method is buying it myself with my money or, some partner's money or a borrow from mother-in-law. Buying it at like, 30 or 40 cents on the dollar and turning around and seller financing it.
Yeah.
What do I mean by that? We just bought one for 40,000. We paid 40,000. I borrowed from my mother-in-law to buy it and we sold it for 90,000, like the day we closed on it. And the buyer gave us a $5,000 down payment and he's paying monthly every single month. And that's where our, passive income rolls in every single month, kind of like your storage facilities.
Yep.
I really like those.
And seller financing, I am a huge proponent of it. I love buying seller financing. I love selling seller financing. In fact, I have a property on market right now in Lubbock, Texas, that I'm selling with seller financing. And so I'm a huge proponent of it. I think it's a win-win for both parties. And I love that that's one of your guys' big strategies here. When you structure those seller finance deals, do you generally how do you structure them? Are you guys doing interest only with a balloon? Are you doing, you know, 30-year amortization periods? How do you generally structure those?
I absolutely am not doing interest only with a balloon. I think that would be setting, well, this is my personal opinion. I think I would set up my buyer for failure if I did that. Every single month. So some of them, we are structuring 30-year mortgages. Here's what we do. We take a down payment, usually at least $1,000, hopefully sometimes more. I used to, when I was just starting out in this in 2016, I would need a down payment large enough to get my money back out of the deal so I can keep rolling. Right. And I built that up to about $9,000 a month in about 9 months period. That's what allowed me to get out of the military. But my structure now is we'll sell it for $1,000 down. And then we try and figure out, we give them kind of what we guesstimate we want to see as far as a monthly payment. And a lot of those will build off of that on a 30-year mortgage at 12% interest. Now, if the buyer says, look, you're asking $399 a month, the most I can do is $299 a month, and they can do the down payment, we'll lower that interest rate and we'll increase the term, not over 30 years, by the way, but we'll lower it from 12 to maybe 8% because we're flexible in that. We own the property or it's with a partner. And these 30-year mortgages are crazy. Like if you look at what the banks are doing, we built it around them. We didn't come up with this, but the banks are usually the prettiest, nicest, biggest buildings in every city and every state. And if you look at these 30-year mortgages, if you have a $200,000 mortgage at 6% interest and someone pays every payment for the next 30 years, they pay back $430,000. Sometimes we're collecting more in interest than what we sold the property for.
Yeah. I remember, this is kind of a tangent, but my parents, they bought their house, you know, the house they've lived in, they've paid it off, you know, for a long, many, many years now. But when they bought it, I think it was like 7% interest, which was reasonable at the time. But they paid it off, you know, every month they would put money down. And I remember sitting down with my dad and he showed me the final payment that went out, what they actually paid over the course of the 30 years and, you know, what they bought it for. I think they bought it for like $290,000 in like 1990 or something like that. And now over that course of that year, I can't remember what it was. I think it was like $500,000 or $600,000 that they actually paid. But
at 7% interest.
Yeah. But don't quote me on those numbers. It was something like that. And it just got me rethinking like, man, the bank is where it's at. Holding those notes, that's really how you make a lot of the money here.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, like a lot of people ask me, because I just did that $40,000. We bought it for 40, sold it for 90. And over the life of that loan, we're going to make a little over $101,000 net profit. And people were like, because I did like a case study on it. And people were like, wait a minute, are you charging a prepayment penalty? Heck no, I'm not. I want them to pay me off because I'll get my profit sooner. But here's the thing. You know, 30-year mortgages, like the first 10 years is pretty much interest only. And eventually these people will maybe take out a bank loan to build a house or put a mobile home on it. And that bank's going to pay me off because they're not going to have a junior lien. So I'll get my money back and I can keep rolling it. The velocity of money. We want to keep that stuff moving.
Yep. And do you generally do non-recourse or do you require collateral for your properties?
No, I take the land back. Yep. I will either, now if they buy it through a realtor, we do a traditional closing through a title insurance company and they get the deed. Generally, I get at least $5,000 down for those. I have never had to foreclose on one of those. But if they want to just do the $1,000 down, we'll give them what's called a contract for deed or a land contract. And you want to know if your state requires you to record those, talk to a foreclosure attorney. You can talk to a real estate attorney, but a foreclosure attorney is going to teach you some methods you can put in your contract for deed to make your life easier to get that property back. But yeah, we've got we've taken back four parcels in the past couple months, and it's simple. You know, we just send them, we obviously will communicate and work with them if they're willing, but sometimes they're not. Sometimes they just said, yeah, no longer moving there, whatever. And they'll let it go back to us and we'll take the property back and resell it again.
Yep. Yep. I've heard of contract for deed. I have not, haven't really dealt anything with it. And that is where you basically don't have to go through the foreclosure process, right? It is because they don't hold the deed itself. It's basically like a master lease that you're giving them.
Very, very similar. And again, know your state. And then this is the reason why I don't let people build on my land, because once it's their domicile or their place they lay their head at night, you start dealing with like Dodd-Frank and RESPA rules. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot more rules when it comes to housing compared to raw, vacant, unimproved land.
Yep. Good advice. I love it. I just checked the clock. We are already running down the clock. It's these things go way too quickly. But before we move on, I do want to ask about marketing and how you actually find your deals, because that's how all of this starts. So why don't you give us a 10,000 foot view, and how do you actually go about finding these deals and selecting the markets that you're marketing to?
Love it. So I already talked about Zillow. I already talked about the area you're in. I recommend doing, when you're first starting out, if you're brand new to this, do it within about a 2.5 hour radius of where you currently live, a radius, a circle. So go to your city, look on Zillow or Redfin and look at the solds, look at land, and look in the past 7 days or the past week. See if you can find any clusters, like a pattern of like when you're shooting a gun and you want to hit the bullseye. Nothing. Okay. Well, go to 30 days and then see if you can find a cluster. That's the area I'm going to start with. And I'm going to click on every single one of those. If we're on Zillow, yellow dots, the solds. And I want to know what it's sold for, how big it is. And I also want to scroll down and see who listed it and who bought it. And if there's no list or bought by, that means it traded off market. It was not on the MLS, I should say. Well, once I figure out what it sold for, how big it was, that's how I can price my area. Now I know that, if we're looking at, if I click on every one of those and 9 out of 10 of those were 10,000 square foot lots, I know that the in-demand lot size or parcel size is 10,000 square foot, and I know exactly where it's at, and I now know the price per square foot. So let's just say it's $3 a square foot is what it's selling for, because you take the price divided by the square foot. That's how you get the price per square foot. And I want to get it for 50 cents or less on the dollar. I'm gonna offer like $1.50 a square foot. Now I'm going to go to PropStream, and I'm going to pull a list. But I'm going to pull a very specific list. I'm going to go on the PropStream map thing where you can draw the little map. And I'm going to draw exactly what I'm seeing on Zillow. Lake Avenue's to the right, Pine Avenue's to the left, First Street's to the bottom, Fourth Street's to the top. I'm going to draw a square, and I'm only going to pull parcels in that area to dip my toe in the water. And I'm only going to pull 10,000 square foot lots. And I'm not going to do out-of-state owner. I'm not going to do own for the last 10 years, because what about the person that just inherited a piece of land 6 months ago? You're going to leave them out? And that's also what all my competition's doing. They're doing like 10 years ownership, out-of-state owner. Well, what about the in-state owners?
Yeah.
And I'm just gobbling up all the deals. And
so you're really hyper-focusing there. It sounds like you're not, you live in Tucson. You're not taking the entire city of Tucson. You're choosing specific areas in the metro that you're looking at, and you choose that area, you get all the properties there, just based on those comps that you're pulling.
The in-demand areas. Now, great. When I come back to Tucson, though, maybe I saw some half-acre parcels selling too, and a one-acre parcel. I'm going to come back to those half acres for the next mailing, because it makes it so much easier to price and send my land offer letter, my LOL, for the exact amount for those 10,000 square foot lots. Well, tomorrow, the land offer letter, and I'll give that to your audience. If you go to thelandsharks.com/LOL, as in laugh out loud, or land offer letter, that's the exact purchase agreement I'm sending. So these people will send it back to me signed, and I'll either hand it to my real estate agent and he can list it for me, or we'll buy it and we'll sell or finance it to a buyer, or we'll assign our contract. There's so many ways to sell this stuff. But that's kind of how we're doing it. And just, I'm pulling the list from PropStream and then mailing out that list, and I'll eventually mail that whole market.
Okay. And so your method of communication is mailers. Do you guys do texts? Do you do RVMs? Do you do, cold calls? Is there anything else you do, or is it just 100% mailers here?
I do a little texting. I use a system called textlandowners.com. It's those guys are lead mining pros. They will text roughly 5,000 of my records for $450. They don't have to worry about TCPA rules. Mm. They just send me the leads. And because I already own the list, I might as well just send it to them to have it skip traced and texted. But yeah, it's just something I have implemented. It's a little hard though. It's a lot of leads. It's a lot of leads really quickly when I prefer mail and they just sign it, send it back. But it's just a different way to work the list.
You put the purchase and sale agreement or the LOI, whatever it is, you put that in the mailer that you're sending them. Like you're sending them, hey, John, here is letter of intent to buy your land for $100,000 and sign this and send back if you're interested. Something like that.
Yeah. Me and my dad just split two deals. We got paid on Christmas Day for one of, or the day after Christmas, I should say. And then just another one today, the lady had two parcels. So she got an offer for both of her parcels. And this is a state where I have a realtor that will throw them right on the MLS because it says on our purchase agreement that we can market it however we like, even put it on the MLS. And they both sold. And just me and my dad split the money on both of them. We took that purchase agreement, gave it to the I just gave it to the realtor and he brought it to the title company.
Interesting. I love it, man. Well, hey, that does round out the time. We are going to have to move on, but I loved everything you've said. Land is sounds like quite an interesting and fun asset to jump into. So if people do want to get involved in this, they go to give us the URL again.
TheLandSharks.com.
Perfect. The Land Sharks, and that's plural, SHARKS. And then if you wanted that land offer letter, that's /LOL. So it's time to jump into the quick question round. Are you ready?
Let's go. Yeah.
Let's do it. It starts with books. I'm a big bookie, so give me two recommendations, one for general life wisdom, one for real estate specific.
Right now, I'm reading Stories That Stick by Kendra Hall. I love it. Okay. Another one's Profit First. I don't know if that fit the criteria, but I'm going through Profit First again because I look at all the money that went through my bank account in the last few months and I'm like, good Lord, we need to keep some more of this.
Yeah, I've had that recommended before, Profit First. It sounds like a good book. I haven't picked it up myself, but I definitely feel it's so easy to let expenses balloon and keeping those expenses down. That is one of the battles of a business owner.
So I've got a pile of debit cards on my desk right now. I know we're running out of time and a couple credit cards. Today, I took 30 minutes and reported them all lost. You know why? It's because I've got so many recurring charges that I don't use eCampaign Pro anymore that charges me $99 a month and this, that, and the other. And I had five subscriptions to Adobe. Like, I'm like, what the heck? What? We just need one.
That's funny. That's a good idea, though. And I've done that before. Not intentionally. I'll just lose my debit card and it'll cancel. But then I'm like, wow, I'm glad all of these subscriptions have finally ended.
They'll call you when they want the money and then renegotiate with them or say, do I really need this? Is it bringing me a return on investment right now? Nope. Yep. Don't need it.
Yep. All right. That moves us on to the next question. This is a good one for you because you're in land. The United States is a big place. There's a lot of square miles out there. So what metro are you most excited about investing in today?
I'm just going to say Florida right now because look at what's going on in Florida right now. Colorado was my baby about a year ago, but Florida. And cool, I know, man. that's not micro, but I'll leave it at that.
No, it's a good one. And a lot of people are saying that there are, you know, the demographics are definitely favoring investors. There's a lot of people moving there. You know, land pricing, single family pricing is still, it's getting there, but it's not expensive yet. And so makes sense to me. And that moves us to the next question. This is about strengths. We are all gifted with strengths that we uniquely give this world. So what is your Superman strength?
Probably my biceps. No, just kidding. You know, just the here's my strength. I know that I don't know everything and I find the person that's best at it. So whether it be SEO or mailing or helping me close these land deals, I find someone that's way better at it than I am, like bookkeeping and accounting. I hate looking at spreadsheets. So I found someone that kind of helps me and makes it where a 12-year-old can understand it.
Yep. No, and that is so important, is sticking to your lane, sticking to your strengths. Because if you try to do something you're not good at that your mind isn't already oriented towards, it is like just slamming your head into the wall. But there's somebody out there who actually enjoys that stuff. So let them be in their lane, you stick in your lane. That is a good strength to have. Which moves us to the next one. This is for your younger self. So go back to the Brent who is just doing that first land deal. Look him in the eye, give him one piece of advice moving forward.
Implement profit first right now. What's profit first? Read the book, Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. Keep some of this money, even if it's 1% of the gross, 1% of the gross, like in a separate account that you don't touch for a couple of years and see what it turns into.
Yeah, that is good advice. That's something I need to implement, honestly.
I'm talking
don't
to
do
you,
it,
really.
But I need to do to that. All right, that moves us to the second to last question. None of us are islands. We all stand on the shoulders of giants. So who is one mentor who has contributed significantly to where you are today?
Tom Kroll.
Tom Kroll. Easy peasy. Tom, he's a real estate mentor or coach, right?
He started Wholesaling Inc. And I actually am one of the coaches at Wholesaling Inc. And he's just been an amazing mentor just on life and business and real estate wholesaling and coaching.
Everything above. I love it. Well, shout out to Tom. Thank you for helping Brent get to where he is. That leads us to the very last question. This is for the listeners. You've given us a lot of good advice, a lot to think about land. I'm sure people want to reach out. What is the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Yeah, I'd say the best way is hit me up on TikTok, Brent L. Bowers 1. Every day I'm putting out some type of content on how you can do a land deal, buy and sell something today, how to start investing in land.
Cool. I love it. That is Brent L. Bowers 1, not 2, 1.
Nope.
On TikTok. I will put that in the show notes. You got to love TikTok, man. That has my every woman in my family just absolutely loves TikTok. I haven't gotten on. I tried to get into it. I tried to make videos, but I couldn't get on board. But man, yeah. It is tearing it up out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that
my wife, I see her scrolling all day long. I'm like, oh no, she's addicted.
All right, Brent. Well, that wraps it up. Thank you very much for hopping on the show.
Thanks, Gabe.
Absolutely. For everybody who's here with us today, thank you guys for showing up. You are the reason we do this. So if you guys have any questions whatsoever, reach out to me, Gabe at realestateinvestingclub.com. Other than that, hope you guys have a great week. Keep rocking real estate. And I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. All right, before I officially sign off, I have a quick announcement to make. If you're interested in becoming a passive investor in one of my deals, my own company, Kaizen Properties, is looking for capital partners for our upcoming projects. We invest in what are known as recession-resistant assets, mainly self-storage facilities, mobile home and RV parks, and industrial properties. If you're interested in investing and would like to learn a little bit more about my company, our investing criteria, and some of the previous projects we've done, go to the Real Estate Investing Club podcast at therealestateinvestingclub.com and scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Click on the Invest With Us button. That'll pop up the investor form. Fill that out and we will reach back out to you as soon as we can. Or if you prefer a little bit more of a personal touch, you can reach out to me at gabe@therealestateinvestingclub.com. So really, that is it. Again, it was a pleasure hanging out with you guys during this episode, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode.